Apavitra, Sarvavastam, Krotiva, Yak, Smaram, Punrikaksham, Sa, Ayantaram, Suchi, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Om Apavitra Apavitrava Sarvavastam Krotiva Yak Smaram Pundarikaksham Sa Vayantra Suchi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu Om Apavitra Apavitrava Sarvavastam Krotiya Yak Smaram Punrikaksham Sa Vayantaram Suchi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu
Make sure your back is not to the knees, it's a little sideways, so you're not, your back is not to the knees.
Om Agyanatmanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. This is called an initiation ceremony, initiation into the chanting of the holy names. According to Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, there are different stages of reviving our original Krishna consciousness, beginning with a Tao Shraddha. At the beginning, there is some faith. That is, there is some experience that there is something beyond this bodily concept of life. Generally in the material world, we were born, as it says in the Vedas, Janmana Jayate Shudra, we're born into the bodily concept of life. But human form of life especially is meant to get free from the bodily concept of life. According to the Bhagavad Gita, we can easily understand the difference between ourselves and the body just by observing with our intelligence how our bodies are changing, but we ourselves within the body, we're always the same person. The material energy of which we're conscious of presently is unconscious, and the person who's conscious can understand his spiritual quality simply by his dissatisfaction with his limited state of material condition experience. Everyone wants the maximum amount of happiness. Everyone wants to be enlightened to how to obtain that happiness and how to have that happiness for as long as possible. But in the material concept of life, the body is temporary, full of problems and miseries, and we're unaware of how to actually get our fulfill the interests of life that we're looking for. Therefore, the Vedas say, samskarat bhavatvija, that by samskar, one is able to get a different birth. Janmana jayate shudra, samskarat bhavatvija. Dvija means, ja means to be born, and dvi means twice born, like the birds. Birds are first born out of the hen, for instance, and then there's an egg, and then they're born again from the egg that was born from the hen. So the birds are also dvijas. Of course, we're supposed to be better dvijas than the birds are. But Dvita means twice born, samskar. So our samskar, our method in this age primarily, is the chanting of the holy names. Because by the chanting of the holy names, we can experience that there is a different state of existence beyond simply material existence. One of the first things one can note is that when one chants Hare Krishna, it is not becomes hakti if one does it properly. It is said that the holy name and Krishna himself, they're non-different. Purnat binadvat nama namino, that Krishna and his name are exactly the same. Therefore, as Prabhupada said, there's no need for mental speculation or even any intellectual adjustment. There's no need for anything except for chanting the holy name, and one can realize the spiritual quality of the name because one can keep on doing it repeatedly. And if one pays some attention, then one will realize ever greater awareness and happiness through the chanting. On the other hand, even if we chant our favorite hero's name, whether it be Mickey Mouse or Obama or whatever else we may find temporarily satisfying, if we do it enough time, we simply become disgusted. Therefore, samskara bhavat dvija and veda panta bhavat vipra. It is not that we're simply trying to understand theoretically that we're not the body. We want to actually realize what is the path of practically experiencing the difference between ourselves and the body, coming to the Brahmanic platform of existence. And the Vedas give us the methodology of doing it. They recommend the chanting of the holy name, but in order to chant the holy name effectively, it recommends the process. Many people can chant Hare Krishna and may not get the full benefit. Just like if one wants to light a fire, then it is better when the wood is dry. If the wood is wet, similarly, there are 10 offenses in chanting the holy name that we try to guard against, which we can go over, such as the first offense is the blasting the devotees who have dedicated their lives in the propagation of the holy name of the Lord. In other words, this knowledge is coming through Krishna about his holy name and how to chant it properly. If we serve the devotees who have experience in offenselessly chanting the holy name, then we can learn how to also offenselessly chant the holy name. That baby should be invited to give her own talk outside. And, of course, in this material world, everyone is generally envious of each other. Anyone who has anything greater opulence than anyone else, automatically we become envious. If someone has a penny more than we have, then we want that penny and everything else that they have. And generally, the give and take theory in the modern world is, you give to me, and I take from you. Therefore, generally, people are envious. And certainly, if someone is advancing in devotional service, people will also become envious of them. Therefore, rather than being envious, because we can't really understand properly, we can't hear properly from a person if we're envious of them, therefore one has to give up the envious attitude towards Krishna and his devotees and everyone else in the world, so we can hear properly, and then by hearing properly we can learn the process of spiritual advancement. Second offense is to consider the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Generally speaking, we don't believe in the demigods in modern society. It may appear that this offense is not very important. So although we don't believe in the demigods, we believe in many persons who are insignificant compared to the demigods. We may go to the bank and pray for a loan. We may go to our school teacher or a professor and pray for a better mark. We may pray for so many different things, to our boss for a raise. So these persons are insignificant compared to the demigods, but still we feel that they're more important to chant their glories. I think when recently some singer or dancer left his body under very inauspicious circumstances, and yet they made a big deal out of him because he was the acharya of similar type of people. But following such a person will not get us to the goal of life. But still, somehow or another, we take people who are insignificant as being very important, and the persons who are actually very significant, we take them as insignificant. When God comes himself, we claim he's an ordinary person, and when an ordinary person comes along, then we claim he's God. So this is Kali Yuga. The third offense is to minimize or disobey the orders of the spiritual master, or to consider him an ordinary person. So of course, as Prabhupada used to point out, that we can consider anyone ordinary unless we know what extraordinary is. The actual person who's extraordinary is Krishna, and in this material world, we have a choice. Every living entity has a choice. Either they can agree to act as Krishna's instrument, or they're forced to act as Maya's instrument. Therefore, anyone who takes up the process of devotional service, to some extent, they to some extent become an instrument for Krishna. Therefore, anyone who's engaged in devotional service sincerely must be taken as extraordinary, because in this world, practically speaking, everyone is acting as an ordinary instrument for Krishna. They may be seen as extraordinary in the eyes of ordinary persons who can't discriminate. They may be able to do things in the material world which are extraordinary, but after all, the result of all this extraordinary activities is ultimately zero. So it's like the Himalayan mountains, they're about to give birth, and the Himalayan mountains are quite big. So everyone gathered around to find out what the Himalayan mountains would give birth to. So the mountains were shaking, there was a big uproar, earthquakes, and finally a mouse ran out. So the material world is such that it may appear that something extraordinary is going on, but it's just simply the material energy changing its form. Earth, water, fire, air, and subtle mind, intelligence, and false ego. It is going from one form to the next. People who are absorbed in watching the display of the material energy may think it's very important, but actually it doesn't mean anything. Only when this body is utilized in Krishna's service does it actually help awaken our spiritual consciousness and therefore help us out of this material entanglement, and that's actually of some significance. Otherwise, remaining in the material world, watching the display or experiencing the display of the material energy is useless because it doesn't help us at all get out from, free us from the material entanglement. Therefore, one who's repeating Krishna's message in disciple succession, that they must be taken as rather extraordinary, especially in Kali Yuga, where everyone's simply talking nonsense. And to think that the words coming through the disciple succession are ordinary means to think also that Krishna is ordinary, which he's not, nor are his instructions coming through the disciple succession. Nor are those repeating Krishna's instructions, because they're factually acting as an instrument for Krishna, at least to the extent that they're understanding and following those instructions. Fourth offense is the blasting the Vedic literature, or the literature which is in pursuance of the Vedic version. There may be many parts of the Vedic literature, most of which are incomprehensible to us presently. Therefore, our tendency is to disregard the Vedic literature as something mythological. That there was some boy, he raised his hand, and his left pinky, he held a huge mountain for 7 days and nights. But all the residents of his village, they stood underneath the hill. So people may think that Vyasadeva was in the Himalayas. There are many herbs there that maybe he had affected his mind. After all, there was nothing for him to do there, so maybe he took advantage of the herbs there. And during one such experience, he wrote about imaginary cowherd boy lifting up hills. So one may think like that in his drug-induced hallucinations, he wrote extraordinary prose and poetry consistently with all the different logical analogies and examples given perfectly in Sanskrit. But somehow or another, he was in the midst of his hallucinations, he talked about a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Maybe he was thinking that later on, when he reincarnated, he'd get the royalty rights if somehow or another he got published. But actually, if we examine the Vedic literature with a philosophical mind, we'll see it's not so extraordinary that someone can hold up a hill for 7 days in a little pinky. After all, there is someone who has the sun, which is infinitely greater than a hill, moving in their orbits exactly on time, controlling the movements of a sun, which is unlimitedly bigger than a hill. Therefore, Lord Brahma, also a learned person, as Śrīla Vyāsadeva, he says, yacchaksha esha savitasa kalagrahanam, rajasa suramute ashesha suram teja, yajyagaya brahmati kala sambrita kala chakra, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhujami. He claims that the sun is one of the eyes of Govinda, and it is Krishna. Brahmati Sambrita Kala Chakra. That Brahmati means to move, and it is Krishna who is moving the wheel of time, and therefore all the planets, they're moving in their orbits exactly according to Govinda's order. We may see in India sometimes they tie a bull to a stake, to a pole, so the bull can walk around and pull a very heavy weight and that way grind grains. Well, although the bull is so powerful, it can pull a heavy weight that would take dozens of men to pull, still the bull cannot move 1 inch beyond the rope. Similarly, although the sun is so powerful that it has infinite effulgence, ashesha teja, still is not moving 1 inch beyond its orbit. If the sun moved 1 inch closer to the earth, then the whole earth would fry, literally. Then there would actually be some real global warming. And if the sun actually moved a little bit away from the sun, from the earth, then everything would freeze. It would become like it is now, colder. But so colder that you wouldn't need an ice box because Dallas would be one big icicle. You could ski on the top of Mount Dallas. But that's not happening because the sun is staying in its orbit. Although they claim that it's global warming, or actually, I think, in the end of the 70s and beginning of the 80s, the scientists were claiming that soon there was going to be a new ice age. But I guess no one bought that one, so I guess they tried this one. Whatever sells is... In any case, the sun is moving exactly in its orbit, so is the other planets within our solar system and within our perception, and it is due to the arrangements of a higher intelligence. And that higher intelligence, Lord Brahma says, is Krishna. Therefore, for the idea of Krishna being able to hold a mountain in his hand for 7 days is not a very significant activity for him, accomplishment, because he's able to hold a sun in its orbit since time immemorial, practically speaking, at least during this present creation of Lord Brahma. which is billions of years. When we hear about the Vedic literature, some other extraordinary things, we don't have to accept them, we don't have to negate them, because they're beyond our experience. Unfortunately, presently, we're actually imagining that our experience is very important. But actually, our experience is completely insignificant. We're so inexperienced that in spite of the fact that we're not the body, and in spite of the fact that even we can understand, theoretically, we're not the body, we spend most of our life acting as if we were the body. So that means our whole experience is based upon illusion. And when we hear about experience which goes beyond our experience, which is a product of illusion, so much illusion that we don't even experience our own identity, we're not even aware of who we actually are. Therefore, to reject experience that goes beyond our present experience is not very intelligent. But to blindly accept experience that goes beyond our experience is not necessary either. Simply, we have to find out through the Vedic literature, specifically Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, how to live in this world that we're presently in such a way that our experience in spiritual life increases. Whether or not there is mountains in this universe, which are, you know, yojanas, 100,000 yojanas high, 800,000 miles high, whatever. It makes no difference to us, because right now, neither we can see those mountains, nor we can get any fruit from them. They have nothing to do with us, and we have nothing to do with them. Therefore, they're actually unimportant to us right now. But what is important is that if we learn how to perform devotional service, whether we see those mountains or not, we'll eventually be able to see Krishna and experience Krishna, which is much more important than some mountain like Meru or whatever. Better to find Krishna in Dallas and go to Mount Meru and find some fruit there the size of an elephant. So the fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination. Of course, to some people it may appear to be imagination, but if one seriously takes to the chanting, if one learns to chant and hear with attention and submission, then the result is that one will experience something beyond the material energy. Some people may claim it's imagination, but that's only their imagination. Their whole life is that of imagination, therefore they project, and they think that anyone else who's experiencing anything that they're not experiencing is also, it's just another imagination. I guess people have taken too many intoxicants and drugs, therefore their whole life is an imagination. But for one who's actually become enlightened in Krishna consciousness, one can see the effect that the holy name has, and therefore understand that it is real. Every other concept is imagination. Or as Prabhupada said this morning, he once wrote to me in a letter, he said, if you light a match in a dark room, then the darkness can't put the match out. If we actually chant the holy name offenselessly, with attention and submission, then when we experience the holy name, we'll be able to understand things clearly. Therefore, we won't be attracted by the idea that we are the material body, and the idea of life is sense gratification, and there is no God, or that everyone is God. All these ideas won't appear to be very significant. Sixth offense is give some mundane interpretation of the holy name of the Lord. Someone may claim the holy name has some effect because it's an extraordinary material vibration, but these are all mental speculations, and it should not be accepted. There is one famous poet who claimed that the holy name is very effective because it will cause one to hyperventilate. And therefore one got high by chanting it because of hyperventilating. So these are all mundane interpretations. You can't hyperventilate your way back to the spiritual world. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. We may think that the holy name will counteract my previous sinful activities, which is true, but the offense against the holy name, of using the holy name to counteract sinful activities, will be worse than the sinful activities themselves. Krishna doesn't want us to remain in the material world, and therefore he's using his energies to try to encourage us to get out of the material world. His principal energies that he encourages us with are birth, death, old age, and disease. Of course, principle, I guess we could say, old age, disease, and death, because when we get our little kick when we come out at birth, we probably don't take it so seriously, or we don't know how to interpret it very well, unless you're Shukadeva Goswami. But old age, disease, and then death, they're quite inspiring to us to get out of the material world. Therefore, Krishna is doing everything he can to inspire us to get out of the material energy. He's not trying to encourage us to stay here. We may think that that's unfair, it's undemocratic, no one voted for Krishna's laws. As a matter of fact, no one even elected Krishna. And that why should Krishna be God? You know, this is all. So we may protest, but that protest will not be very helpful for us. Just like the person who's arrested by the police may protest why the police in charge. Who put them in charge? He doesn't agree. He voted against the police department. Therefore, he doesn't recognize their authority. But in any case, when he's in the jail and they're chastising him, his protest does little good for himself or to his particular ideas. Similarly, we may protest against the laws of material nature, but it does us very little good. The fact is that the holy name may counteract the reactions that we're presently destined to receive, but if we keep on performing sinful activities, then we'll also get a reaction for such a offense against the holy name, just to stop us from doing it further. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as true activities of karmakanda. So, of course, everyone in the material world is interested in first of all, most people are interested in getting out of the miseries of material existence, and if we achieve that even to a small extent, then we want to become comfortable in our so-called happy state of life. A more intelligent person may even realize that there is no possibility of being comfortable in the material world. Just like the current illusion of modern society, that due to mass manufacturing of technological things and other things, people have become more comfortable. But all you do is have to go to work in the morning and in the traffic through the city and see how much comfort people are in, waiting in the traffic, breathing in the smog, listening to all the bad news on the radio about how the price of gasoline is going up and the unemployment rate is going up along with it. But there's hope in the future because they're printing up more money. And as long as no one figures out, you know, what they're doing, then everything will be all right. So, because although the piece of paper has no value, but still, some people are at gunpoint forced to take it anyhow. Anyhow, this is all not very comfortable. Hearing all this news, trying to get one of those pieces of paper so we can pay off the car to go to the work, so we can get more pieces of paper, pay off more cars, and give more money, pieces of paper to the bank in the name of so-called progress. So modern civilization has actually made things very uncomfortable. There is no, practically speaking, most places there's no clean air, there's no clean water, there's no fresh food, people are anxiety, they can't even sleep at night, they have to take a pill to go to sleep, then a pill to wake up, and a pill to counteract the two pills that they just took. And they call this comfortable. Even the dogs in the street, they're more comfortable. We never heard of a dog having to take a sleeping pill. And besides that, we never heard of a dog having to pay off a mortgage or someone repossessing a dog's home. Someone comes along and snatches the cardboard box he's sleeping on because he didn't pay his rent. So in one sense, the dogs, they have less anxiety, they have more comfort, they have, you know, etc. Usually they have a better digestion. So this idea that we can make progress by chanting the holy name and therefore getting some material benefit from it is incorrect, because even when we go to Brahma Loka, we find Lord Brahma, the highest living being in this universe, he's also in anxiety because his home is about to be repossessed, namely the universe. Time itself is repossessing his universe, therefore he's always wondering when time is going to come and take everything away. So what to speak of the lesser beings like ourselves? Because after all, Lord Brahma, he thinks, I only have a little left, less time. I only have a little time left to live. I only have 150 trillion, 20 billion years left in my life. Therefore, I better start taking life seriously, because I've just hit 50. It's a fact. Lord Brahma is just 50 years old, and it's 12 o'clock. It's almost time for him to take lunch. The ninth offense is to instruct the faceless person about the glories of the holy name. The whole idea is to tell people what's necessary to help them appreciate what is the values and activities of Krishna consciousness so they can maybe participate themselves. There is no need to tell people things that they can't possibly understand or appreciate. We should just tell people what's necessary so they can engage in Krishna service. That will do them some good, not some very elaborate explanations which they can't possibly understand, which will simply confuse them. The tenth offense is not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Our main problem is that we're distracted. We're distracted because we're afraid of what's going to happen to us. Because we shouldn't be afraid, because it's going to happen to us anyhow. So what's the sense of being afraid? And we're hankering for some better existence. We're lamenting about what happened in the past. We try to become God in the past. We try to lord it over the material energy. We try to enjoy the material energy. And it never worked out the way we wanted it to. Something went wrong. So we lament, thinking if I could have only been 5 years old again and started life again, I could have changed everything and then I would be in a better position now. And then we make plans for the future, how to make our lives more comfortable, more free from our problems, and therefore the whole material existence is, practically speaking, is never in the present. Because the present, is everyone knows, is not very good materially. Therefore, we hanker for the future, and we lament we couldn't have made the past better. Therefore, one should give up this hankering lamentation and simply try to chant and listen to the holy name, try to hear it with some feeling, with some attention, with some appreciation. And then the result is, when we feel Krishna's presence, then we'll begin to understand what is spirit. Just like when the sun comes up in the morning, along with the sun, there is illumination and light. So along with the appearance of the holy name within our heart, by the process of attentive chanting, then automatically there's illumination and the disappearance of all our misconceptions simultaneously. So one has to simply chant attentively and with some appreciation, calling out to Srimati Radharani Krishna, kindly engage us in their loving service, so we should do it without anxiety, simply with some appreciation for the wonders of the holy name. And when the holy name reveals itself to us, then naturally we'll learn how to pay better attention to him. Therefore, in this age, where the other processes are very difficult to perform, such as Krita Dayate Vishnu, Kritaya Dayate Vishnu, Dwarpyam Tretayam Yajiko Mukai, Dwarpyam Paricharyam, Kalotad Dari Kirtanam. Then in the other ages, when people could meditate, where people could perform sacrifice, or regulate their lives in deity worship, now, these things are not available for ordinarily. Therefore, the holy name can be chanted anywhere at any time, and if it's done under the proper guidance, then it becomes very effective. Therefore, initiation is to train one how to arrange one's life in such a way is that one can chant the holy name and get the full effect from it. The full effect is that one gradually, as the holy name arises within our heart, we become more and more conscious of Krishna. And becoming conscious of Krishna means, as Maharaj Prahlad said, Naiva dvije paradaratya vaitaranyas tvavirya gayana mahamrita magnichitak sochevi mukacheta se indriyarta maya sukham varam udvato vimudan. Prahlad Maharaj said that whenever I chant your glories, I merge into an ocean of spiritual happiness, and therefore I feel complete satisfaction. We may not be able to understand that clearly, what an ocean of happiness means, because we're too used to living on a desert where we're satisfied with even one drop of water if it comes along. But that's what's advertised, an ocean of happiness, and gradually as one chants Hare Krishna without any offense, by doing it under proper guidance, then the result is that one begins to understand at least the existence of an ocean of happiness, if not getting a few splashes here and there from the ocean. And then eventually one will become qualified to enter into the ocean, and therefore the dry desert of material existence will not seem very attractive anymore. The initiation means to take a vow, specifically to chant the holy name a certain number of times, and to do what's necessary to avoid the offenses against the holy name in order to actually get the full effect of chanting Hare Krishna. In other words, to eventually chant Hare Krishna in such a way as that we're actually sincerely asking Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage us in their loving service. If we actually want them to engage us in their loving service, they're ready to do it immediately. Unfortunately, we don't really want to engage in their loving service so sincerely, therefore they can't give us the full extent of their mercy. They can't reveal themselves. Therefore, we're being trained by, in the chanting of the holy name, simultaneously as we chant, we have to be trained how to chant with more and more desire to actually engage in Krishna's service, so that we actually call out with all full-heartedly to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to kindly engage us in that transcendental platform of service. So Bhakti Angela has qualified herself to receive initiation, which actually means being initiated into the Sampradaya, of which our most prominent example in our Sampradaya, our current link, by which everyone holds their allegiance to, is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who's introduced Krishna consciousness to the Western world and displayed extraordinary surrender to Krishna and his spiritual master, and therefore displayed extraordinary potency, Krishna Shakti Vinanaya Tara Pravartana, extraordinary potency to spread the holy name, because he was factually a transparent medium between Krishna and ourselves. Therefore, actually, the initiation within our society is really linking one to the Prabhupada and his instructions especially, so that by following Prabhupada's instructions through the disciplic succession, one will get the full opportunity to come in contact with Krishna again. And of course, Prabhupada had created an international society for Krishna consciousness, so he expected that one works within that society, because that's also part of his instructions, and that society should be dedicated to trying to understand and follow as closely as possible the instructions that he's given so that we can become fully Krishna conscious. Prabhupada did not try to create an empire like some mundane empire where he'd have a number of buildings to stay in, or he did not want to be glorified as a mundane historical personality. He wanted to create a society where people got the maximum opportunity to revive their relationship with Krishna. And therefore, as a representative of Prabhupada and his instructions, that initiation process is going on within ISKCON. And of course, within ISKCON, there is an authority structure, and therefore, one may be accepting a guru within ISKCON, but that guru is also part of the authority structure, subordinate to the authority structure. That's not bad, because the whole aim of the Krishna consciousness movement is to develop a service attitude towards Krishna and his representatives. Therefore, if there is some authority that's been authorized by the current link within our society, that authority is spiritual, and therefore if we try to serve that authority and their instructions which come down through the disciple succession, that is also spiritual. Previously there may have been many independent authorities known as gurus that had their own institutions, etc., but that would not be very effective for spreading Krishna consciousness in the current age and would not be very healthy for the individual persons who are taking that responsibility. Therefore, Prabhupada stressed above everything else is to cooperate. Of course, cooperate under his instructions, not to cooperate to build our own little empires. Not to cooperate to spread Krishna consciousness and to become Krishna conscious. So he wanted us to cooperate in the structure that he himself created to spread Krishna consciousness and to help ourselves become Krishna conscious too. Therefore, we request those who are Bhaktivinoda Angela, who's taking initiation, to also work cooperatively under the institution that Prabhupada himself has created. Of course, there may be some mistakes, but then again, our whole life is a mistake anyhow. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So we shouldn't be surprised if there's a few mistakes in the material world here and there. But if there are mistakes, then it becomes our service that we can to try and help correct them, rather than simply spend our life trying to point them out. Or we think, one time there was one of our devotees who was giving class, initiating guru, and he was wearing his glasses, and one boy came in and said during his lecture, the devotee's lecture, that I heard that your devotees are perfect, but I see that this guru, he's wearing glasses, so how could he be perfect? So then he left. So of course, it's not that the guru should have put on contact lenses to disturb the faith of his followers. But we should know that perfect means is simply perfectly engaged in Krishna's service under the guidance of his representatives. To try to do it to the best one's ability. No one's ever going to become perfect in the sense that mundane people think. Therefore, there's some mistakes within our society. Mistake means somehow or another not understanding properly or not accepting properly Prabhupada's instructions. Then we should try to work to correct it. And even if we can't correct it, then at least we ourselves should understand what's proper and follow that, even if we can't influence others to do it. And then we'll become benefited, and at least we'll be helping them the best possible way by our example. So, now, on behalf of our GVC body and the authorities, therefore I am authorized to give initiation. So, Bhaktivinoda Angela, would you like to... You first pay obeisances to Prabhupada. So we shouldn't think that Prabhupada is just a statue which just happened to be placed in the temple with the other statues, because we had to decorate the temple. But actually, Prabhupada is personally present, just like the deities are personally present. We take Prabhupada's presence seriously and treat him with respect. Of course, Prabhupada is very happy to see when we're participating in the worship of Krishna in the temple, That way Prabhupada will actually reveal himself to us. And just as if we become Krishna conscious, then Krishna will actually talk to us eventually. And Prabhupada could also talk to us. So it's not that Prabhupada is left and therefore we put a statue of him instead. But actually Prabhupada is also just as much present as he was when he was manifested in his physical form, but he's manifested in this form now. But he becomes more and more real, more and more available to one who takes him seriously. And that means like understanding and following his instructions. That's the same thing for the deities also. So you can come over here. I should say the mantra out loud.
Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishnapastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhagadananda Swaminiti Namane. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishnapastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Sunvari Paschatya Desha Dharani.
Actually, everything we do is not really a ritual. We don't bow down as a yoga exercise. Of course, it is a yoga exercise. But it's bowing down means to put us into the proper consciousness. Generally speaking, people don't like to bow down because they don't like to anyone think that they're subordinate, because the material world is a endeavor to become superior to others. And more or less, bowing down means that you're admitting defeat. But we're trained that, especially in America. Don't, even if you're defeated, don't say you were ever defeated. Just pretend that you won. And if you claim it enough times and some other people who are as foolish as you are, they'll believe you. But we pay obeisances to get into a mood of service and subservience ultimately to Krishna. And of course Krishna is God, so it's not bad to admit that we're subservient to him. It is bad not to understand that fact, because then we are remain imprisoned by the illusory energy and have to suffer life after life. So the bowing down is more or less an acknowledgement that we're subservient to the instructions coming from Krishna through the succession. And the mantra is more or less, that's what it means, that when we chant those mantras, it's to remind us that we're actually servants of Krishna's servants. So that's very good. We're chanting it out loud, so at least we listen to it. We can hear it, and that will bring us into the proper mood of devotional service. What are the four regular principles that you're going to follow?
No intoxicants, taking no intoxicants, no eating or eggs. Eating eggs.
What about fish?
Fish. No gambling and no illicit sex.
And how many rounds do you chant every day?
16.
Tentative, that's good. At least 16. We both hands. So your name is now Ananda Devi Dasi. That's the name for one of Krishna's 108 principal gopis. So now we'll chant the mantras. You want to? Everything is ready to begin the. Jai Shri Shri Radha Kala Chandri Ki Jai. Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Shrimati Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Everyone can repeat the mantras. Om Agyana Kimarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaktur Umilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Swaha. So you have to take with the ear. Not with the index finger though. Yeah, between these, the middle, the ring finger, and the thumb. Yeah. Swaha.
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 Shri Chaitanya. Anobishtam. Stapitam yena. Utle. Swayam. Rupa. Swa Padantikam Swaha 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 Bande Ham Shigro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigrum Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sabadutam Prajna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Sakansvitamscha Swaha Swaha Swaha
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishthaya Bhutale Srimate Prahalada Nanda Swami Iti Namine
Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Swaha 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 Namaste Saraswate Deve Puravani Richarane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Desitarane Swaha 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 Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namane Shri Varshavanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prave Namaha Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Swaha 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 Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Swaha 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 Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Pridayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Guratushe Namaha Swaha 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 Panchatattva Makam Krishnam Bhakti Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avatara Bhaktya Kam Namami Bhakti Shakti Kam Swaha 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 Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindo, Dinabando, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Rasa, Visarambi, Vangsivata, Tathastitaha, Karshan, Venum, Swanair Gopir, Gopinata, Shriya Sunaha, Swaha, 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 Tapta, Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshri, Vrishubhanu, Sutadevi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Swaha, 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 Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Swaha, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Swaha, Swaha, Swaha. So now, stand up. Take the banana. Come on before the.
Okay.
You have to stand up.
Okay.
Repeat this mantra.
Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Go Brahman Hitaya Cha. Jagat Hitaya, Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha, Swaha. You can put the banana in there. And kirtan. Someone can chant.
What is your kirtan?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.